This morning, we have two guests. We have Kali Okuno. Kali Okuno is a noted African-American organizer and educator. He is the director of Deep Dish TV, TV's video series, and currently in production examining racism in the U.S. He is a founder of Cooperation Jackson, a coordinator of special projects and external funding for the late Mayor Chokwe Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi. Previously, he was the executive director of the People's Hurricane Relief Fund in New Orleans, Louisiana, and the director of human rights education for the U.S. Human Rights Network. He is the author of the Organizing Handbook, Let Your Motto Be Resistance, and wrote the preface to the report Operation Ghetto Storm. He is an organizer with the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. Kali is currently spearheading Deep Dish TV's new video documentary, The Myth of a Post-Racial America. He is much, much more, but we're happy to have them, happy to have him with us, and Brian Droulet, the director of Deep Dish TV, joining us in studio as well. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming down to the studio this early morning to join us. So let's start with you first, Kali. Let's talk about racism and the dehumanization of African Americans. It remains really virulent and seemingly a necessary force in the United States. Why does this still exist in this country today with our black president that we have going around the world putting the face of, in many respects, people are saying it's a post-racial society here in this country?
Well, that's the question. You know, that we're really trying to explore and go into some great detail on with this video series. Clearly, as we can see from the events of the past 6 months, for any who now really cares to look and listen, and there's so much that the youth and the Black Lives Matter movement is putting at the forefront to let people know, not only throughout this country, but throughout the world, racism is alive and well in the United States, and it has to be confronted. And you ask why. I would draw people to the basic social and economic foundations of this country and how those relationships have remained true and remained steady over the past 400 years, that there are those who kind of initiated this project to benefit from it, both in the stealing of this massive continent, this massive land, and also brought others, our descendants from Africa, to work for free or to work for very little to make enormous amounts of profits. That basic fundamental equation in 400 years hadn't changed, despite all kind of the surface changes that have been made in legislation and policy and the granting of certain rights and within that framework. The basic economic infrastructure is what it was, even through, you know, agrarian industrial transformation. Who owns and who eats and who doesn't eat fundamentally hasn't changed.
We'll talk a little bit about this series, this Deep Dish TV series. What are you trying to accomplish? What are your goals in this series?
Well, number one, we started off with the goal of really trying to expose the basic hard reality that most people of African descent face in this country, to make that bare. Well, now some of the things of the past couple of months have really made that clear, at least as regards to the state of how the police and the state in the form of the police is treating black people at this particular point in time. So now that we're trying to ask a deeper question, why? Right? Why is this still going on? Why, after 400 years, or particularly 200 years of this democratic experiment, or is this particular group of people in constant need of this reform or that bill or this particular type of protection? And saying that there's a deeper issue here that we need to examine about the core nature of this society, which is similar to your first question. So we're trying to expose that now. And some of the things we're really trying to point at and warn people about and get ourselves organized is that with the current trajectory of basically people of African descent becoming a surplus population at this point, not necessary for you know, production with a value in this country anymore. That outside of the warehousing solution, which has been the dominant solution for the past 30 years, you know, the question of genocide is on the table. And we really have to look at that and examine it and question it and get people to confront it front and center. That's one of the main things we're really trying to get at and explore and get people to really think about and challenge with this project.
And speaking of challenges, what are the challenges in putting together a series like this? What have you discovered thus far?
The biggest challenge is funding it.
Funding, of course. Which I would have been surprised. I would have been surprised if you said something else.
That's the biggest challenge. You know, there's folks who are interested in it. But I think not quite sure what to make of it just yet, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, in a lot of ways. And I've been kind of late making the analogy that even on the progressive side of the equation within this country, particularly as it relates to finance, that there's still a great deal of denial. So we might, you know, we cry about the right and the Tea Party folks denying climate change. Well, there's still another equation, you know, on the other side of it. The people are denying that there's racism and like national oppression that's going on. That there's still kind of a blindfold of I don't really want to see it or I can't see, you know, which reminds me of a good cartoon that's out there now around, you know, there's a black man with his hands up saying, I can't breathe. And then there's on the other side, there's a white guy, you know, with his hands up saying, I can't see. Mm. And I think that's the equation that we're basically kind of struggling with.
One of the things that we're doing is we're holding a series of town hall meetings around the country. We had one here in New York in November and one in Jackson, Mississippi, beginning of December. And then we just had one in L.A. on December 28th. And we're filming these town hall meetings and we're basically investigating, seeing how people look at things. You know, how are people understanding the issues that we're trying to confront in this series? And that'll help us shape where we go with the project.
Mm. I'm Michael G. Haskins. I'm in studio this morning, this Friday morning, with Kasembe Balogun, sitting in for Mario Murillo. He'll be back. Mario will be back with us next week. We're talking this morning with Kali Akuno, the director of the Myth of a Post-Racial America, and the voice that you just heard was Brian Droulé, the director of Deep Dish TV. Kali, let's just talk for a moment. We're coming up to commemorate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. His birthday was yesterday. We're commemorating here in this country on Monday. Does Martin Luther King still, is it still relevant today? Does it still resonate with people the way it did when you and I were young folks? Does it resonate today?
No, not in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, not in the same way. You know, it, to a certain extent, I think corporate media have disinvested from trying to sell the myth that they themselves created around Martin Luther King. I think Obama took some of the sales out of that, where it was kind of like, well, here's the fruits of that struggle, him being elected. And so there was an issue like, we've all arrived, we're all equal. So in that context, to a certain extent, King has value as a marker, or had value as a marker, but Barack Obama was kind of like, the here, now, the flesh in the present, and we're going forward. Now, after, 7 years of the Obama experience, that currency is worn thin. And they can't tout that as much anymore. Black folks aren't buying it. Hardly anybody's buying it anymore. So to try and resurrect that king, I think is very difficult for them. Now, what I think that offers is a new opportunity for us to talk about a radical king, mm-hmm. which has been denied, which has been, you know, hidden, which has been scorned. And so I think for many, including myself, I've been trying to, particularly with this movie Selma coming out, saying there's a lot more to this story than you've ever really been told.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more to this individual and his particular role in history that you were never really exposed to. You know, most folks don't know, for instance, that King was at the National Independence Celebration of Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Most folks don't know that. Right. Most youth don't know that.
Right.
You know, that he had a very Pan-African connection. Most folks don't know that he was a committed socialist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most young folks don't know that. And they know hardly anything around his stance around Vietnam and what that meant, how courageous that was. Posing
the war in Vietnam.
Posing the war in Vietnam. In that context. And they know nothing about the Poor People's Campaign and what that was really trying to get at. And his complicated stance on black power. You know, it wasn't a full rejection the way they kind of, the Eyes on the Prize and some other folks kind of portray it. That wasn't what he was about. He had certain issues and nuances with it, but he understood it.
Right.
You know, he understood that there is a need for real power to be held, you know, for people to control their own lives and their own destiny. That was something he understood and he spoke to. Now, that King is something I think that we can put out there for a younger generation who were like, oh, you know, I know in my generation until I was really exposed to a more radical King. I always kind of thought King is a sucker. You know, he's, you know, from the tradition I came from. And I remember in college, a professor from Trinidad, well, he didn't really debate. He just kind of put a speech before me and was like, you know, who said this?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of excerpt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, man, come on, man. That's Malcolm. He was laughing. He was like, no, that's that's King.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that can't be King. That can't. He's like, well, I want you to read the whole essay now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a whole other side to him that that I think, you know, youth in this generation should be exposed to, particularly given there seems to be a renewed commitment to a very militant, you know, nonviolent, non-compliant kind of campaign following in that tradition, and to understand the radical nature of this individual and of several other individuals who are in that movie, I think would benefit them tremendously to kind of learn some of the lessons, what succeeded, what failed, and where do we go from here.
Let me ask you about the importance of black-brown alliances, immigrant mobilizations of the past joining forces with Black Lives Matter.
Well, you know, it's. I think one of the fundamental alliances that have to be built and have to be built intentionally. And it's, we have a tremendous responsibility, I think, in the black community to both welcome folks in to a certain extent, but to also do a profound level of education, so folks have a different understanding of what this America is, as opposed to the America that they come from, and the myth of the United States that many have been sold, and what our particular role is within this United States. You know, the dynamic paradigm has been for well over 150 something years that as long as you're not black, you're okay. You're all right. One of the worst things is to be black.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't associate with those folks. You know, don't get too involved with them. Heaven knows, definitely don't marry none of them, have no kids with them. You know, that kind of narrative is still alive and well. But we have to tell a different story to this project. Like, look, you know, this place can be very brutal. It's very exploitative. You could work your whole life, you know, harder than you ever worked anywhere. And you might have a few more TVs and a few more radios and a few more creature comforts, but you'll be less empowered than you were if you were, you know, back in the southern part of Mexico or Nicaragua or Brazil or wherever, where you owned your own farm, you control certain aspects of your own means of production. So there's a trade-off to coming here. But we also need to tell people, look, there's a greater project of liberation that the black community has been invested in for 400 years, and we'd like you to join in this project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, become an ally in it and create a new state of reality, a new state of being, a new set of social relationships. Would you want to join us in that alliance? I think that's part of what we have to put forward. And I think, you know, given that so many immigrants now, particularly from Latin America and the Caribbean, are coming from places that have been so thoroughly dominated by U.S. imperialism, they have their own understanding of the American Project, which is not that shallow. So I think we have to really kind of build on the history of resistance in each other's traditions, in each other's history and consciousness to find some deeper relationships and solidarities.
I'd like to ask you, Brian Jolet, by the way, that was Kai Okuno, the noted African-American organizer and educator. He is the director of The Myth of a Post-Racial America in studio, along with Brian Jolet, the director of Deep Dish TV. Brian, let me put this out there. How can WBAI be a partner with Deep Dish TV? I'm really interested in that. Do you see that as a possibility going forward?
Yeah, I think it's a real possibility, and Deep Dish has partnered with WBAI in the past. During the build-up, during the first part of the Iraq War, we produced a 12-part series called Shocking and Awful, mm-hmm. A Grassroots Response to War and Occupation. And, it was a 3-DVD set. And, we gave that to WBAI as a fundraiser, and it worked out great for all of us because it gave publicity to the series and distributed, lots and lots of copies and, raised some funds for both of us. I think here, WBAI has a long history of being deeply involved in the liberation struggles of African Americans and other peoples. And the WBAI archives are very extensive. I think there's probably some materials that we could work together on. And also your network of contacts can be very helpful in the people that we want to talk to and interview and see how people are looking at this.
I think one of the important things, too, and this is Kazembe, what's just so great about this project is that when we talk about globalization and the African Americans, we're not just talking about questions of labor, but we're also talking about questions of the image. When we had the leak out of Sony Pictures a few months ago, people were so concerned about North Korea, they totally forgot about the level of racism shown by the 1% in Hollywood against some of the progressive forces in Hollywood and their racism against saying someone like Denzel Washington couldn't sell overseas and things of that nature. So I think part of this project that you're engaging with in terms of piercing that myth is also a project of also retaking and reclaiming some of this media work that we need to do in this 21st century, correct?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we started off with a song around Bukwan experience, and it was noting of the 5-year anniversary of that terrible earthquake. There's another story to be told that, the elections in Haiti are now 4 years off.
Mm-hmm.
There's basically a virtual dictatorship that the Clintons, are in fact running through Martelly. But there's a deeper narrative around who's telling that story,
mm-hmm.
right? And is it really being told? And I think that's a responsibility of like a project like us to touch on internationally and how, what Haiti's role on the international is in this conversation about race.
Right.
Right. And it still being a heavy burden, some 205 years, since independence, they're still paying a heavy burden for that pretty significant victory. And all of us, people of African descent, have also been a part of the punishment that has been reaped out by the United States and most of the West, that took place. So we got to really look at our relationships, and I think something like this can help to kind of expose some of those connections.
Yeah.
Well, we're really happy that you both stopped in the studios of WBAI this morning to join us and talk about your projects. And we look forward to this collaboration with Deep Dish TV.